I like to preach on certain subjects, and one of those that I like to talk about is the home. I have several sermons that I like to bring on that and encourage us in our homes, because God has created the home. We look back upon the creation of the world and we realize that God created the heavens and the earth, created the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom. He created all the things that are celestial. But God also created man and he created woman and he blessed and sanctified the home. And he created that so that we can enjoy each other and that we can share the experience of life and love that God has for us. And I want you to appreciate your families and I want you to take them seriously and realize that we have a great responsibility, whether we're the husband or whether we're the wife or whether we're the children. Realize that a good Christian home is certainly something to be proud of and something that we need to contribute to and work towards. You know, today many of the homes that exclude God, they do that and they're subject to so many different things, worldly pursuits that lead people away from God and lead people away from happiness. We think about the greed that consumes most modern families today and most modern homes. We think about the worldly things, the lusts of the flesh and alcoholism. We see pornography and pedophilia and things of that nature. Hatred is rampant in our world. And we see a lot of these things originating from within the family structure. And it's because that people don't have God as the center. And you know, on the other hand, families that have God at their center are families that grow and nurture each other. They're homes where that the husband is the head of the family and takes that spiritual oversight that God has commissioned him to. There are homes where that women are and children are treated with love and respect and dignity and honor, like the Apostle Peter told us to do, in honor preferring one another. And in this environment, you'll notice that there is a Christian growth and an atmosphere that blesses each member of that family. And I can speak by experience because I grew up in a family like that. And in my family, there was a respect for God and for His Word. It was taught and it was practiced to the extent of our knowledge and our ability. And I think that that is something to be thankful for. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, a passage that we so often reckon with our individual bodies and our individual lives, I want you to take that for what it says and apply that to our Christian home today. And Jesus here says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And then he says, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, there are so many homes today, and I know that predominantly that passage refers to us as individuals, but I think that it also refers to us as a family unit and a family structure, because you'll notice that so many families are disintegrating today because folks are so unwise and we're not contributing that which God has required of us. We're not doing the things within our family structures that God would have us to do. And I want to present some of those things in a positive light today. There are seven things in all that I want to show you. I've got seven fingers there, I think. I want to show you seven things that should be characteristics of a Christian home. And if they are, it will create an environment where that we can love each other and we can grow together and we can raise our children in God's nurture and admonition. And certainly, God's blessings will rest upon our home. You know, the Bible says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I believe that to be true of the family structure as well. But let's look at some of the things that make for a godly home and a godly family. One of the things that primarily I think that we have to rely on and look to is that God's Word is taught there. It's preeminently important that God's Word is supreme in the home. And God's Word has to be taught there. It's not enough. You know that our Bible class is here in the hallway, and our wonderful, wonderful teachers, and our school system. Powell County has a good school system. Montgomery County and the other counties have wonderful school systems with good teachers. But do you know that those are to support what occurs in the home? It's not to take the place of what occurs in the home, but it is to support what occurs in the home. God's Word is supposed to be taught in the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. God is speaking through Moses unto the children of Israel. And this is what God said. And these words now that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You know, it's very important. Brother H. Leo Bowles said many times to his young preachers that he was teaching, God's Word needs to be in you. Doesn't need to be under your arm. Doesn't need to be on the coffee table or on the dash of your automobile. God's Word needs to be in you. And that's what God told the Israelites here. These words which I command thee this day, they shall be in thine heart. Look at the next verse. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, I thought that was the responsibility of the teachers in the classes. No, my friend, God says that's the mother's responsibility and that's the father's responsibility to teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them. Now watch this. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Sounds like God wanted His Word to be the center post of the family, didn't it? Sounds like God wanted people to take seriously their responsibility to His Word. And God says, I want you to talk about them. How often is the Bible read and discussed in our Christian homes? Is it something that we do once in a while or never? Or is it something that we do on a regular basis? Let me ask you to please make Bible study and reading and discussion a part of your lives, a part of your family atmosphere. It'll do you a world of good and it'll help your children as well. It'll make them to realize that daddy relies on God and mother believes in God and God is a rewarder of the family that discusses His Word and takes action upon it. Here the Word of God to Moses said you need to teach diligently your children these words. And you need to talk about them when you're in the house. Now I know I like to talk about sports and I like to talk about my basketball games, my football games. I'll occasionally talk about politics and we may even get caught up in some gossip from time to time. But you know, God said that we need to be careful that our conversations in the home include His Word. And we need to sit down. You know, your children will take knowledge of that. And I learned that real early when Rachel and Dan was little, even before Joseph came along. My wife and I would be sitting in the living room talking about a certain subject, and the children would be playing in the floor with whatever they had to play with. Their minds seemed like they were a mile away. And then directly they would come up and repeat something that you had just said. And you know, that's a good atmosphere if they're repeating something from God's Word. And so the one of the things that would be characteristic of a godly Christian home would be that God's Word is taught there. And then the second thing is that the Lord is served there. In the family environment, in the Christian home, God should be served. You know, we serve ourselves so often in many different ways, and I think many times we serve our children, we serve our spouse, we serve our society, we serve our schools, we serve the civic club, and we serve so many different things, but remember that we should be serving God in our homes. And the only way we can do that is if our home is structured and functioning the way that God designed for it to be. You'll recall the famous words of Joshua in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, verse 14. Joshua is talking to the children of Israel after the demise of Moses. Moses passed away, and Joseph is getting ready to lead the children of Israel in, and he knew that some folks probably didn't reverence God the way they should. And he knew they weren't teaching God's word in their homes the way they should, and they weren't serving God in their homes the way that they should. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Sounded to me like that Joshua was in control of his family, and Joshua was in control of his home environment. Joshua said, "In my house and in my family, we are going to serve the Jehovah God. We're going to serve the one that led us out of the Egyptian bondage. We're going to serve the one that appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to serve the one that has kept us all of these 40 years. And we're going to serve him in my house." And how can we serve God in our house? You know, religion, children, is not something that we just go and hear preached about. It's not something that we hear talked about, but it's something that we actually do. James said, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." That means that in our household that we practice what we preach. When we say that we ought to think about God, then we'll do that. When we talk about God, we'll do that. When we sing the song, "I'll put Jesus first in my life." And that's a song that's in your book, a beautiful song, but we need to go home and do that. That means that God takes precedence over our job. That means that God takes precedence over our schooling. That means God takes precedence over everything in our life. You know, when that Super Bowl game comes on and hits 6 o'clock and it's time for all of the warm-ups and Domino's pizza and the wild chicken wings and all of that stuff, the Christian home will be getting ready to go out and worship God in spirit and truth. And there'll be no question as to whether or not we're going to church or not, because that's what we're going to do. Our house is going to serve the Lord. So we have God's word being taught in the home. We have God being served in the home. And then the third thing is that we behave ourselves in our homes. You say, "Well, what do you mean there, brother?" That's our home is our castle, and it's our sanctity, and it's the place that we get away from the world. We can be ourselves. Well, I hope that yourself is an imitation of God. Hope that ourselves is a mirror of Jesus Christ. For you see, it's been said that a man's true character is known by what he does when no one is looking. And it's been said that we know that many religious folks, how many in our generation religious folks have been shown to be ungodly when they've been caught up in some big scandal of some sort that was occurring behind the doors and under the rugs. And we see that these things occur. But we need to behave ourselves in our homes. And that means that we don't look at things that we shouldn't look at. We don't listen to things that we shouldn't listen to. We don't use language that we shouldn't use.
Psalm 101 and verse 2, Psalm 101, 2 and 3, David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Look at this. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, the next time we are watching something on TV that we shouldn't be watching, I want you to remember that verse. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that we need to practice what we preach and be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I'm just saying that in time past, I've known of folks that would watch stuff. And, you know, I've said before, we've got probably 185 channels. And there might be 8 or 10 of them that's not blacked out due to the parental controls that my wife and I exercise on our television sets. Because I believe in being holy. I believe in not watching things that I shouldn't watch. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Look at this. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And that's what David said. I'm going to be a little different than those that turn aside. I'm not going to watch these filthy movies. I'm not going to watch these movies that have the filthy language. You know, children, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, it was scandalous if someone said just a small curse word. And today, we use language that's just unheard of. I would have never thought that our television sets would broadcast things like that. But you know what? It's not watched in my home. We don't listen to that stuff, and we don't watch that stuff. I'm just saying because God doesn't approve of that. Been said you are what you eat, but you know what? You're even so more so what you watch and what you listen to. The Bible tells me that evil communications corrupt good morals. You can be the most moral person in the world and watch that stuff and listen to that stuff, and soon you'll be imitating that in some fashion. So we're going to behave ourselves in our house. Number 4, the deceitful and liar is not welcome there. You know, I've been disassociated from some of my near family members because I don't approve of what they do, and they're not welcome to behave that way in my home. I don't allow alcohol in my home. I don't allow foul language in my home. I don't allow people to sleep together in my home that are not married. I don't allow stuff like that because God don't. How often do we allow ungodly people to be entertained in our home, all the while they're influencing our children and ourselves? Think about Lot and his daughters. Lot was living in a wicked society and vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And in the end, he lost some of his daughters, didn't he? You think, suppose that they were influenced by that? Psalm 101, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 101, verse 6 and 7, David says again, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Now look at this. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit, look at this now, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Here he's saying that I'm not going to entertain folks like that. They're going to know that my home is for serving the Lord. And they're going to know that we don't tolerate that behavior in our homes. And if that causes them to not want to be our family anymore, and if that makes them not want to be associated with us anymore, then so be it. Because remember that our houses are supposed to be Christian homes. Now that doesn't mean that someone has a bad reputation, comes to our door, we kick them out. But it makes to understand that when they come to our home, they know what the expectations are, and if there are misdeeds done, that we address that in an adequate and a Christian fashion. Number 5, in a Christian home, children are a welcome addition to it. Children are a welcome addition to a Christian home. How many children have been murdered simply because they've not been wanted? You know, in a Christian home, a child is seen as a gift from God. What a great gift that it is, and it's a perpetuation of life, life that comes from God. There's a great responsibility there, Mom and Dad, and that little one that you hold in your arms. God chose you to have that child, and God chose you to nurture that life and frame that mind and bring it up to fear Him, to serve Him all of its days. And you can do it, or God wouldn't have given you the child. God has entrusted you with that gift, and you can perform that with the Lord's help. Psalm 128, verses 1 to 4. Here the writer says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Children, the Bible says, are an heritage of the Lord. Children, the Bible says, are as olive plants. Children are a special gift from God. And you know these little ones, that they're so special. And one of the things that is so good about this congregation is there's such a wide variety of age. We've got folks that are quite along and advanced in years, and we have a lot of us that are kind of in the middle there, and then we have some that are younger than we coming along, and then we still have smaller ones. And so with that kind of a population, this congregation is assured of being here for many years if we're sound in the faith and bring them up in God's nurture and admonition. The next thing that I want you to consider is that the poor are entertained within the Christian home. Now, I know that we have to be very careful not to put ourselves in jeopardy. We can't do, perhaps, like our grandmothers did. It wasn't uncommon many, many years ago for a stranger to come up and knock on the back door and ask for something to eat. If your grandmother was like mine, she didn't turn them away, but she made them work for it. She made them split some wood or pack in some coal, or she made them feed the horses or the cattle or do something for it. And then she would feed them. And I know that we can't necessarily do things today because of the society that we live in. It's so filled with violence and people that you can't trust. But you know, we have to admit that there are still poor people in our environment, in our area, that we can help. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 6 and 7, God says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?" Here God is saying that good works should be characteristic of the Christian home. When you have a family member that needs something, that you don't hide yourself and say, "Well, I can't help." You know, I've seen folks that would just, they would put a front out there in front. "I don't have any money. I don't have anything to help people with." So just in case there was a need, no one would come and ask them. You know, children, how sad that it is. If we've got food to eat, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my mother's mother, you know, chickens were the common thing. And I've said before, you can't be a gospel preacher, not like chicken and dumplings. But by that, when we would go and visit my grandmother on my mother's side, when you walked in the door, you had to eat something, you had to drink something, you had to do something. You couldn't just walk in there and talk. Well, that was outrageous. You had to eat something or do something. My grandmother would have chickens, and she would kill those, or she would purchase those, and she would cut those up and fry them in the big Dutch ovens in the hog lard and roll them in meal or flour and pepper and salt them, and ooh, it was just so good. And we'd have the thighs, and we'd have the drumsticks, and we'd have the breasts and all this and that. And she'd sit over in the corner, and she would eat the wings. And she said that's because she loved the wings. No doubt she did, but I think that she wanted us to have the better parts of the chicken as well. And so there was not a time when someone would come that wouldn't be fed and entertained in her home. And we need to look about. If we've got food to eat, we've got clothes to wear. Children, don't throw clothing away. Don't throw food away. Don't throw things away. There's somebody that can use that. We need to look about and see who can use that and what the venues are where that we could disseminate that. And remember to always try to do that through the church if you can. If you've got an opportunity to give to somebody you can do that through the church and give God glory and honor, then you need to do that rather than using a man-made society. Last thing that I want to consider is that in the Christian home, prayers are offered there. In the Christian home. How many times do we take advantage of God's love for us? You know, if we don't pray together as a family, what are we saying to each other with respect to our devotion and need for God? What are we saying if we don't pray together? You know, it's important that families pray together. You know, we all rely on God. We're not self-sufficient. God provides the things that we have. Daddy does it. Daddy might work for that, but God gives that. It's my duty to get out and work. It's a mother's duty to take care of the home and the family. These are God-ordained responsibilities. It's our duty to do those things. The Bible says when we've done all, then we should still count ourselves as an unprofitable servant. God still provides the blessings. And as a family, we need to sit together and pray each day. And one of the greatest times to do that is when you assemble for the family meals. You hold hands around that table and you pray. Either father prays or mother prays. Even take opportunities to let the children pray. It teaches them the art of praying and public speaking and the responsibility of addressing their Heavenly Father. Daniel 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, now remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king had signed this great thing, and you weren't supposed to worship any other gods but the gods that were there in the Babylonian kingdom at that time. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. And what did he do? He prayed three times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't allow that to stop him. You know, children, family prayers are wonderful. You remember what happened, I believe, in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles when Peter and John were in prison and the assembly gathered together and prayed to the Almighty God? You remember the house was shaken? I'm not saying that God will shake your house or shake your foundation, but I'm saying God will listen and answer. Some examples that we could give you would be Noah's house. We could give you the example of Cornelius's house. We could give you the example of Philip's house. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Cornelius was one that feared God and listened to what the preacher said. And brought his family to listen to that and was obedient to it. Then Philip was obedient as an evangelist, and he had, the Bible says that he had four virgin daughters which prophesied. They were following in their father's footsteps, trying to be Christians. Proverbs 12 and 7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Characteristics of the Christian home or the Christian house. These are seven things that I picked out that I thought was important, and you could find many, many more. But it shows you the importance of the Christian home and what should take place there. If there's any that's not a member of God's house tonight, it'd be a perfect time to become a member of God's family. Everything that's necessary is here if you're willing. You know, you may have come through that door tonight without Jesus, but do you know you can take Him home with you? And he can be a part of your house to lead you and guide you in your honest, sincere efforts to serve God. Be a perfect time to do that. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation, and we ask that you'd make that decision to come forward and obey God as we together stand and sing.